He has called us to a place of rest. That's not just in a physical way, but mainly that is in a spiritual place of knowing Him as our supply. I think too many times there's other things that we add to this, and that's what we want to try to look at this morning for a few moments. Each one of us must come to a place to where there's no confidence in anything that we can do. We have no confidence in what we know. Doesn't take away that we're constantly learning and experiencing God, but we have no confidence in the past. We have no confidence in what we know as far as facts are concerned. We're utterly dependent upon God. And that means that there must be a relationship between each one of us and the head, which is Christ. We cannot be related to Christ through any person or ministry. I don't care what it is. We must be related directly to Christ. To really understand this is to come to a place of utter dependence upon God. Otherwise, I cannot move, I cannot know separate from Him. It's a place of weakness, and yet in the end, it's a place of strength. But we're not going anywhere spiritually unless we become paupers. We're not going to move in God as long as there's 1 ounce of self-reliance or self-confidence. We're not going to move. Guaranteed. Long as we think that we know something and are not cast upon Him completely, we're not going to move. We're not going to move in the life of God. Now this morning I want to go back to some, elementary. Where would you say elementary scriptures are? Beginning scriptures. Where would you say that'd be?
Book of John.
But he's got some profound ones there too, but we'll go back there for a moment to John. One that we all know, but do we know it? If I would ask you a question this morning, what kingdom are you in? I think most of you would say, well, we're in the kingdom of God. Do you know what it entails to be in the kingdom of God? Do I fully realize myself what it actually means? It's so profound and yet it's so simple. Because Jesus spoke right down to where each one of us live. And as Nicodemus came to Him, He spoke right to where he could understand if he wanted to understand. Now, these are truths that are still with us today. And there's a couple of areas that I just want to look at briefly here this morning, particularly in the third verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Listen to it now. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we all think we can see because we have knowledge of some concepts or some truths that we have read. But I'm talking about this morning, you seeing spiritually. And that's what Jesus is saying. Born alive by the Spirit, except He moves into this new relationship with God, he cannot see. In the time of Jesus, you know the story there. Many came and He said, you know, if you said you were blind, I could open your eyes. But you say you see. This is what we're talking about. We say we see because we know certain things. But do we see? Are we seeing? Are we vitally, each one of us now, because I don't think we can rest until each one. We must look to the lowest common denominator amongst us that they, each one, come to this place of relationship with Christ to where we can move together. Where we can see. And you're just not taking, well, that's what you told us. I believe it. But do you see it? Has God opened your eyes? Do you really see spiritually? That's the thing this morning. I don't care who's told you. I don't care what I've said. The question is, do you see? Has God anointed your eyes? Have you tasted? That's what he says here. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's where God has called us to live. Right here. We're living, or should be living, in the kingdom of God. Now, let me go on further, another verse here, because Jesus in the fifth verse answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I want us to stop this morning to wait upon God and think in God. We're so familiar with these scriptures, I think that sometimes we do not see the pungent effects of what God has done at Calvary. We just accept this and we have knowledge of it, and we think we know because we have a definition of what it means to be born again. But it tells us here, if we have not been born of the Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I think that you will agree with me this morning that God has called us to live. We have been translated. When you're born of the Spirit, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. God has called us to live this morning, if we will at least admit it, to live in the kingdom right now. And we're not talking about all of the different concepts that are with us in the world today, like kingdom living and all of these other things that people are looking for something that's not real. But I'm talking about the rule of life, the rule of the Spirit of God within the believer. What God is doing, that each one of us, alive unto God, attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, vitally. We're not attached through each other. Each one of us are attached to the head. And should have a vital, I don't care what degree it is, a vital relationship with God. If He is building His church, He must be the one that builds us together. We cannot be built together by each other. Think about it, man. What the Word of God tells us. And there's a place for each one of us. Each one of us has a function. But who's building the church? You? Me? Jesus is building the church. Tremendous truth. Liberating fact of reality. Jesus is building the church. Is He going to fail? Come on, we've got to have confidence in Him. We've got to lose all confidence in what we can do and what man can do, because we must see. In other words, we're going to constantly look at what we think is the church, and we're not going to see the church. But when God opens our eyes, we'll start to see what God's doing. Glory? And let me say this to you. If you're not seeing, stay before God until you do see. Some of us, we lose courage very quickly. We don't have time. Beloved, let me say this morning, I say this to myself, we don't have time for anything else, but it's just as simple as that. We don't have time for other things. This is what we have time. Take time to know God. Take time to hear God. Because if you're not hearing God, you're not having faith. And if you're not having faith, you're not moving in God. Simple. If you don't take the time to hear God, well, I don't know where to start. Start right where you're at. Take time. Be determined with one thing, and that's the only thing that God has given you. He's given you a choice. Be determined, Lord, you promised, and here I am. If you don't have it, wait until you get it. If you can't see, wait until you see. If you don't know, wait until you know. Beloved, because when He takes and touches you by the Spirit, opens up your understanding, and you know, I don't care how small it is, it's a time of rejoicing in Him. Just to know. Just to know. Just to know that He is. Just to know that He's communicating with you. And if that's not our relationship, then we have to wait until it is our relationship. There's not too much more. There's a lot of things that could be said, but not too much more that I want to say particularly in this area here. We cannot see the kingdom of God, nor can we enter into the kingdom of God, except by this brand new working of God. It goes on to tell us, if I might just clear up one point, if any of us have misunderstanding, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's what we're talking about, the spiritual birth. Made alive unto God in every way. As I say, it's repetition this morning. These are not something that you haven't heard. These are things that you have heard. But God not only makes you alive in the Spirit, He makes you alive in your mortal bodies. That's what the promise is all about. That's what the quickening power of the Holy Spirit does when He comes to abide. Is this the end of everything? This is the beginning. It's not the ending. A lot of people have sat down. They have experienced God at the beginning and sat down to do nothing. This is the beginning. This is where you become knowledgeable in spiritual things. This is when your eyes are open. This is when you enter in and are part and of the working in the kingdom of God, where God worketh all things according to His purpose. Glory. This isn't man's design. This is God's design. It's ultimate. It's beyond comprehension. Paul said it's a mystery. But to bring this all together, it's simple, and yet when you start to see it, you see the great wisdom of God. Because He's taken it out of your hands. There's nothing that you can do about it. It's all in His hands. A lot of times we find ourselves, what we can do, our goodness, what we think that is sufficing. But when you come to the end, I can do nothing. Oh, hallelujah. There is the beginning where God can start to work in our lives. And beloved, I have to stay there. It didn't just come there once or twice. Because we come in certain circumstances and we feel our helplessness. We come to that place and we realize, I can't do anything about this. And you know what happens? We start to seek Him until we do hear from Him. Just don't do that. Just stay in this mode at all times. I'm helpless. I can do nothing. I'm weak. I need Him in everything, every way. I'm blind. I can't enter in unless I enter in by the Spirit. Unless I'm kept by God. How am I kept? As I move in faith, as I realize that it's not in me, it's in Him. That He has the preeminence in my whole thinking. It's Christ, it's Christ, it's Christ. He is the only one. God has chosen Him to bring all things together in Him. We think we know about that. We think we know a little bit about the church. Well, you may, I don't. Confess that to you this morning. I know so little that I don't know anything. You say, that doesn't give you confidence. Not in me, praise the Lord. If you got confidence in me, you better lose it. Get your confidence where it belongs. In Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to stand. That's the only thing that's lasting. Men have risen and fallen. And many have followed them. But those that have been attached to Jesus are pressing on towards the mark with a fresh vision every morning. Come on. If you're not going to shout this morning, I'm going to shout. Pressing on every morning. Not in how I feel. There's something that God gives us that moves us from the inner man and moves us on, whether this old body, whatever it's doing or ever how it feels. God has placed something within those that He has allowed to be partakers of Himself that presses you on, that sees, that enters in. And beloved, stays there. Doesn't just drift in and out. It's not just good to have Jesus and think about Jesus once in a while. You've got to think about Jesus all the time. Come on. Glory. Say, how can I do that and be in the world? Jesus said you could. Just according to who you're looking at and what kingdom you're dwelling in. He said, I have overcome this world. And He says that we are to overcome, but we're to overcome in Him. The only thing that overcomes the world is what? Faith. Faith. So, that means that I'm in union with Him. That means that I'm alive unto Him. Don't tell me that you have faith and you're not alive unto Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You have to be alive in Christ if you're going to have faith. And if you have faith, you will overcome. Every obstacle that is around us. The thing is that we're talking about belief. We're not having faith and we're having too many failures. Come on, we need to encourage each other in the area of what Jesus Christ is speaking to us. The elementary beginning, if we do not start where He begins, then when we go on, we'll not know the reality of His building in our lives. Let me go to another place, a very familiar passage. The second chapter of 1 Corinthians. If you just read these once in a while, please go back and soak yourself in these truths. If it does anything for me, it does this. It brings me to where I have no self-confidence. Now the world is building the exact opposite. They want you to be self-confident. I'm not self-confident, I'm Christ-confident. Glory. I can do nothing separate from Him. We need to know that. All right, let's go to this second chapter. Third verse of the second chapter of 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, excuse me. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Paul, this great man. What's this say again? Fear, weakness, and much trembling. I don't want to follow anybody like that. I don't want to follow anybody but Jesus. Thank God for everything that He's given us. And if we look at them properly, we can benefit from them. But I don't want to follow anybody but Jesus. That's what happens. Men get strong. Men move and get people unto themselves. When you start to see that and you're attached to a person, something's wrong in your relationship. Because in our relationship with Christ, He brings us together in a proper relationship that's going to glorify the head. Anyway, Paul was weak. He was fearful. He was trembling. That isn't how you look at Paul, is it? You say, I know you look at Paul as somebody that's domineering, that's come in. We wouldn't want him to come in this morning because he would just take and search every one of us out and tell us what's wrong with us. No, Paul was a man with fear and trembling in his heart. He came in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of that Holy Spirit. We're afraid of being revealed. Beloved, I only hope that He reveals me.
Amen.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. You can say amen to that. There's so much that we're missing. Because we're missing the one that said He would be in our midst and lead us into all truth and reveal to us the things that were going to come. Right? Isn't that what He said? Are we experiencing that? Are we intellectually being awakened to certain areas of truth? Are we spiritually being awakened to where it's real, it's life, it's power in our lives, to where we can experience it? That's the question. My speech and my preaching was not enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. That's where we all need to have our faith standing, in the ability of God. That's where our confidence is, in Him. My confidence this morning is in what He could do. You can say, can't you do it? That isn't the question. The question is, He's the only one that can do it. I can't do anything. But Paul, you have such great faith. Separate from Jesus Christ, he didn't have anything. He was a man that was frail and fearful and trembling. And the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God will come in us and make us what God wants us to be. You don't know Him? Wait until you do. Let me say it again. We're so prone to hear, get up, walk away, and forget. When God smites us, beloved, we'll wait until we know. We'll wait until we see. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. You haven't even thought about it yet. Isn't that wonderful? You think you know a little bit about it. I haven't even thought about it. Hadn't entered in. Because He brings us in not just to think about it, but to experience it. I'm not saying that we will not think about these things, that we will not meditate upon. That's not what He's saying here. He's saying that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, nor even entered into the heart of man, as far as separate from Him, the things that God has prepared for us. But when we enter into the kingdom of God, God starts to make these alive to us. We start to see that the one possibility in my life is Christ. I'm going to be made like Him. No longer am I going to, I'm not going to fit into center stage. I'm losing my life to gain His. That should be a one-time experience. Not continuing on should be a one-time experience. I lose my life to enter into His. To know what it really means. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The thing is, beloved, we can do nothing. We can know nothing separate from the Spirit of God. That brings us to nothing, doesn't it? I can do nothing. I can know nothing separate from the Spirit of God. That's an awful death. When you die to your self-reliance. It's hard to give up self. That's why I said it's an awful death. We'll struggle to the end with every ounce of intellect that we have to hang on. But God's not going to give up until you give up and submit to His love. He knows. He knows what self does. He knows what self-reliance, He knows what self-confidence does. You tell me which is the greater. Knowing that He worketh all things or knowing that I know a little bit. Which is the greater? Huh? Tell me. But that's not what we're doing. If we would be truthful with ourselves, and if we would take and be those that would see clearly, we'd say that the best part of our reliance is on ourselves, what we can do. What we're prepared intellectually to confront. What abilities we have, rather than what ability God has and will give you. We're too self-reliant. God's not going to let us stay there if we're going to grow spiritually. So we need to come to that place and be still and know Him. Because He is sufficient for every situation. And He's going to be glorified in us because it's going to be His working, not our working. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. We can know nothing in the kingdom of God, separate from the Spirit of God. Most of us rely on the knowledge that we have and the facts that have been taught us. And we can repeat those facts. But what I'm talking about this morning, and you know, is more than that. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Because if you were not self-confident, this morning you'd be on your knees crying out to God. Because you know you couldn't move, you couldn't know, you couldn't enter in separate from Him. We think God has given us another day, praise the Lord. Some of us don't even do that. I'm not going to get too excited, I'm not going to get desperate. Some of you need to get desperate. And that's in the right way, beloved. That's forsaking all of the ability that you think you have, all of the strength that you think you have, and cast yourself upon Him. Oswald Chambers says, out of the wreck shall you rise. Yes, out of what you were, or what you thought you were, you shall arise a new creation in God. To move and know the things of God, what God has prepared for us. God is building us together. And that means, as I've already said here this morning briefly, that each one of us must be connected to Him. And that's what we're talking about. Being able to see and being able to know, being able to move. Being able to enter in. The only way I can do that, beloved, as I've already said, and I hope it is at least knocking on your heart's door, I cannot do that separate from God Himself. That's God's working in each one of our lives to where we can see and when we can know, where we can enter in to realize, and it is the greatest revelation that I know of, and we can know where we can enter in, to realize, and it is the greatest revelation that I know of, when I realize I can do nothing separate from Him. Can you think of any other greater revelation? Because that embraces all of the revelation of Him, of who He is, what He has done. And I come to that place. Father, I can do nothing. Let's look over there in John again. Again, these are all verses that we know time and time again. We pass over them. They many times don't even get our attention. But this morning they're getting my attention. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that He may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, because it except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. That is an active, ongoing, growing relationship with God. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do zero. Nothing. Do you believe that? How many times have I repeated that myself? I still didn't know it. This morning I'm beginning to come to a place that I see a little bit of what that means. I start to sense the same spirit that was moving in men of old. A fearing, a trembling, knowing my inability. But one thing, I have a God that is not forsaking me. I have a God that I can trust in. He's always there. I have a God that can do things that man can't do in any way. My confidence is in Him. My confidence is in Him. I have no confidence in man. Hard statement? I have no confidence in my wit. What I think. Some of the little things. What I'm talking about. I have no confidence in my quickness or, you know, my thinking. I only have confidence in one thing, truth. And He's the only one that can work that truth in my life and in your life. I can't. You can't. He can. But until you get to that place, that's what it means. I feel that I get to a place of humility to where He can pour something in me. This unfit vessel that He's going to glorify with Himself. Talking about all of us now. I have to get to a place of humility. I don't come and say, I'm worthy. I've done anything. I've done nothing. That's hard for us to come to that place. Because we think that we've done something. Lord, I've done this. I've done that. Don't be like the older brother in the story of the prodigal. I've kept all your commandments. What did the prophet say about the son that was coming home? He rejoiced. He put a cloak around his shoulders. He put a ring on his finger. And this is what he said to the older brother. Your brother was lost. Now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive. He looked at it differently, didn't he? And I think he looks at God, the Father looks at it differently sometimes than we look at it. Older brother, I've done this. I've done this. I've been wasting your money. Everything was pointing to what he could do. Too much self-reliance. Listen to the whole attitude of the prodigal. I'll go back and I'll be a servant in my father's house. His servants eat better than I'm eating. I'm eating here. I'm not going back as a son. I'm going back as a servant. If you'll only take me back. No, the heart of God is to realize there's no servants in the Father's house. Glory! The sons! And that's what that story tells us. It shows us a little bit of his forgiveness. It shows us that we cannot have confidence on ourselves. Because we'll destroy ourselves if we have confidence. Self-confidence. What we are doing for God. That's why it's very difficult sometimes for us to reach out to those that have drifted and gone to the pig pen. It's because we're so good and they're so bad. Lord, give me a heart. Work your heart in me that I can go out and embrace my brother coming from the pig pen. Come on. Are you with me? Can you do it? Not separate from him. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. Not with clarity, not with freedom. You'll never do it. Unless he works in you to that heart that binds us together. And unless that same heart is working in each one of us, we'll know nothing of the Father's love working in and through us to others. Don't look at your failures, because we all have failed. Don't say, well, I won't go back that way. I'm not going to do that again. Just thrust yourself upon him and realize that you're nothing. You can do nothing. He's the only one that can work this. He's the only one that can make you what you're not. He's the only one that can do what is impossible for you to do. And when we come to that, that's the beginning of life. We think we have life along the way, but we don't. When we come to the end of our life, then we start to know that my life is in him. The life that I now live, listen to it, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That doesn't belong to me. Have you ever come to that place that you didn't even have faith and he gave you faith? We like to have something. If I've got him, I've got everything. Come on. Because I know, I've been there. That's what I'm talking about. We're grasping for something. We must have something. I can't be nothing. Hallelujah. That's the beginning. That's where God must bring each one of us to where we have nothing in ourselves. The world pushes us hard to be something. I want to be nothing. That I can have him who is everything. That must be real. That cannot be just words this morning. I'm not trying to play on our emotions. I'm trying to show us that these are spiritual truths. There must be a flow of God's Spirit, not just a one-time experience. That's not enough. All it'll do is tickle your emotions. I must know Him. I must press on, even at the end of my life, I must press on to know Him. You too. Now that is the confession of your mouth. Not looking back. Too many of us are looking back and feeling sorry and reminiscing over failures and victories and everything else. Forgetting those things which are past, I press on towards the mark of the high calling, which is mine, yours, in Christ Jesus. No longer living my life, living His life. You just can't say that and it be a reality. It must work out in your daily walk, in my daily walk. Beloved, I'm learning. And I pray, and I hope that we all are praying for one another, that we're learning. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with just confessions. It's no good. We've got to see life. We've got to see each one of us vitally connected. If somebody come in this morning and lay you on the operating table and cut your heart out, unless there was a machine that replaced to those vital arteries to pump blood through your body, you're dead. Same way. I must be vitally connected to Jesus Christ, that He can pump through me life. It can't be in my head. It's got to be in my life. Life is more than words. Life is Christ. So simple. And yet we're all learning. This morning, may we have a heart to lose everything so that we can gain what He has for us. Praise Him.